sings above the Diamantina. A human story from Northwest Queensland.
The mystery of the stolen aeroplane, which was found by John Nettlefold in the Emu Lake paddock of his cattle station Coolibar, has deepened. The paralyzed girl found in the cockpit has not yet improved. An attempt was made on her life when a mysterious visitor entered her bedroom during the night and put some unknown liquid in a brandy bottle on her bedside table. Someone also set fire to the plane on Emu Lake. In view of these developments, Sergeant Cox has sent to Brisbane for a detective. At this moment, the sergeant is sitting in the police station, preparing a report on the case.
Oh, to the devil with this report. How can a man concentrate on a sweltering day like this? Bless my soul, why can't that constable fill up my inkpot? This is mud, not ink.
Good morning, Sergeant. May I come in?
Yes, take a chair. I'm very busy for a moment.
Good. There is no particular hurry. I say you are busy. That must be a very important document you are engaged upon.
What's that? Yes.
I had no idea people work so hard in these remote bush towns.
Would you mind keeping quiet for a while? You're disturbing me.
I'm very sorry. Very sorry indeed. Would you like me to call back later when you have more time to spare?
Oh, dash it all. You better tell me what you want now and get it over. What is it?
I have no desire to hurry you, Sergeant. If you would really prepare...
I asked you what your business with me was.
Why, Sergeant, the same as your own.
What the deuce do you mean?
Perhaps my name will explain matters more easily. I am Napoleon Bonaparte.
Napoleon Bonaparte?
Yes.
Are you pulling my leg, ma'am?
Not at all. I know it is rather an unusual name, but it was given me a long time ago by a romantic-minded matron at a mission station. Believe me, I have often thought of changing it. It seems to cause so much astonishment wherever I go.
Yeah, I should think it would, though.
But the changing of one's name by Dietpol is such a complicated affair. And anyway, I suppose I should be honored by such an illustrious name.
Napoleon Bonaparte. Look here, you're not Detective Inspector Napoleon Bonaparte, are you?
Strange as it may seem, I am. That is the rank I hold in the Queensland Police Force.
Well, bless my soul. I'm very sorry not to have given you a better welcome. To tell you the truth, I wasn't expecting you until the mail car arrived this evening. How did you get here?
I hired a car at Eureka. I should have been here 2 days ago, really. But I was finalizing a case out from Longreach.
Well, I'm very glad you came, sir. We need you here very badly.
Yes, the commissioner thought I would be the best man to clear up this little bush mystery of yours. Oh, by the way, please do not employ the sir.
Very well, Inspector Bonaparte.
No. I would be very pleased if you would call me simply Boney.
Well, Inspector... Well, Boney, I'm very glad to meet you. I hope we shall get on well together. I've heard quite a lot about you, of course. I didn't really expect you to be quite like this.
Really? My appearance, you mean? Then what did you expect, Sergeant?
Well, I really hadn't any idea.
You are alluding, I suppose, to my collar. It is a little strange how prejudiced we are still about the blackfellow touch.
My dear sir...
Boney.
My dear Boney, I assure you I wasn't thinking anything of the kind.
Oh, yes, you were, Sergeant. It is quite obvious from your face.
But I assure...
As a matter of fact, Sergeant, I am rather proud of my Aboriginal blood. I am very proud, too, of my career.
Indeed, you should be.
I was taken into a mission station when I was a small baby, and despite the obvious handicaps of my name and my colour... I'm a half-caste, you understand. I won a scholarship from my state school to high school in Brisbane, and then graduated to the university, where I obtained my Master of Arts degree.
A very creditable record, if I might say so.
I want you to understand, Sergeant, that it is not conceit which makes me tell you this. I simply want you to realize that you are not dealing with an ordinary blackfellow. I'm sure our relations will be much more cordial and successful if this point is fully understood.
Right, quite. Now, Boney, can I offer you a cup of tea? I I think my wife has a bully on now.
I was hoping that you would. I have quite a thirst after that long, dusty drive. But please do not put your wife to any undue trouble.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Have you seen the report I forwarded to headquarters?
Yes. Otherwise, I might have been disinclined to come.
Disinclined? But surely the CIB allocates cases, doesn't it?
He does, Sergeant. And he also allocates cases to me, though sometimes I decline to accept them. On more than one occasion, I have found it necessary to refuse to stultify my brain with a common murder case, or a still more common theft.
Indeed?
The chief inspector of my department does not see matters in quite the same light, or from the same angle, unfortunately.
Most extraordinary thing I've ever heard. I have always been led to believe, Boney, that discipline was imperative in the police force.
Certainly, up to a certain point. But discipline is only for dullards. They cannot perform without it.
Well, I never. Bless my soul, Boney, your attitude surprises me.
Oh, yes. That is what everyone says. I hope that I might find you different, Sergeant.
Well, how about this cup of tea? Just a moment, I'll see my wife about it.
Splendid.
I'll be back in a minute.
Yes, here I am, Pops. What's the matter, dear?
How's that tea coming along?
Oh, it'll be ready in 2 ticks.
Goodbye, I've got a visitor.
Oh, have you? Not that black fellow I saw coming through the gate, eh?
Yeah, that's him. He's not a black fellow, anyway.
He's got a bitter colour in him. Who is he?
He's Detective Inspector Napoleon Bonaparte.
Detective Inspector Oh, you don't say. He is? Good Lord. I thought he was selling brooms or something. Well, I never... And I did want to buy a new broom, too.
Oh, never mind about that, Barney. How's the tea?
Oh, nearly ready, Pops.
He's a very clever man, this Napoleon, but... he insists upon being called Barney for some queer reason. He doesn't believe in standing on ceremony. In fact, I think he's a bit of a bolshie about discipline and officialdom. I can't rightly make him out.
Oh, never mind, Pops. As long as he finds out who poisoned that girl over at Coolibah, that's all that matters, ain't it?
Yeah, I suppose you're right. But I like to have things done in orderly fashion. I always have a great respect for my superiors.
Oh, that's the whole trouble with you, Pops. You got too much respect for your superiors. That's why you never get any promotion. You want to stick up for yourself a bit more.
Oh, that's all very well, but you don't understand.
That's the answer you always gives me. Don't understand, indeed. I understand only too well that you've been sergeant at Golden Dawn for 23 years. Oh, and it looks like ending your days here, too.
Oh, come off it now, Vi.
I tell you, Pops, I've no mind to wait for Judgment Day in that miserable old cemetery in Golden Dawn. I've got ambitions.
Oh, one grave's as good as the next to me, Vi.
Well, one police station's not as good as the next to me. Though, talking of graveyards, Golden Dawn Police Station's the best one I ever come across.
Oh, come off it, Vi. Things aren't as bad as that. Now, listen, I've got to get back to the inspector. I mean, Boney.
Good-o. I'll bring the tea in as soon as...
I'm sorry to have kept you so long.
That is all right, Sergeant. I've been inspecting the town through your office window. There is not very much traffic about, is there?
Oh, no, you find it pretty quiet here after Brisbane.
I don't want you to think my knowledge of the country is limited to Brisbane, Sergeant.
Oh, no, I don't, not by any means.
I can assure you that I am very familiar with the bush. My native blood is of great assistance there, of course.
Oh, yes, quite. Now, about this aeroplane business, I don't think it'll, what was it you said, stultify your brain?
No, since the aeroplane was found, has it rained or blown dust?
No, the weather's been very clear and hot.
Excellent. I understand the air accidents authorities have inspected the wreckage. What did they have to say?
Nothing. They said they'd report to the commissioner.
Well, we must allow these civil servants to wield their own thunderbolts. Dignity, you know, must be maintained. I wonder now, did they tramp about in the vicinity of the burned plane, trying to shoot kangaroos or otherwise enjoy themselves?
I don't think so. They spent most of the day ferreting about among the debris. No, they didn't do any kangaroo hunting. The only men who've tramped about much looking for tracks are the two station blacks, Shuteye and Bill Sykes.
Oh, another unfortunate name, this time after a famous person in literature. I do not think it right. Was this Bill Sykes... so named because of any resemblance to the original cracksman?
Possibly. He's ugly enough.
What success did they achieve?
None. Unless the fact they found no track proves that no person left the machine after it landed, and nobody went near it when it was destroyed.
Well, that will all have to be checked. And as the weather has been fine, that should be mere routine work.
I have in the office several statements made by the Coolibah employees.
Good.
Ah, here's my wife with the tea. This is Detective Inspector Napoleon Bonaparte.
Oh,
And this is my wife.
Oh, good day, sir.
Good evening, Mrs. Cox. Now tell me, Mrs. Cox, do I look like a commercial traveller?
Oh, no, sir. Of course not.
Or a tramp?
No, sir.
Or a criminal?
Indeed not, sir. Of course, some criminals are hard to detect unless they're found out.
Thank you, Mrs. Cox. I was afraid your husband mistook me for a criminal, or a tramp, or a commercial traveller. And now, if you would render me a great kindness...
If I can, sir.
Please call me Boney. Just Boney. You see, I hold an inspector's rank merely because my training and my mental gifts entitle me to an inspector's salary. But it is the salary, not the rank, I covet.
Yes, Mr. Boney.
I covet the salary because I have a beautiful wife and three growing boys to educate. And I have to find a great deal of money. My boys and my wife, the commissioner, and your husband all call me Boney. I would be happy if you were to do so, too.
All right, if you want me to, Boney.
Thank you. And thank you for the tea. I am sure I shall appreciate it.
Anything else you want, Pops?
No.
Then I'll get back into the kitchen.
A very nice woman, your wife, if you don't mind my saying so, Sergeant.
I'm glad you think so, Boney. She's very good to me.
I'm sure she must be. Have you any children?
One, a boy of 15. He's had a bit of sickness, but now he's getting on very well at school.
What are you going to make of him?
Oh, I don't know. Certainly not a policeman.
Why not? A police force offers a fine career.
I don't agree with you. Now, look at me, for instance. I was shoved out here as a young man to keep law and order among a peaceful, law-abiding people. Pushed here out of the way, you might say. No chance of further promotion. No chance to use what little intelligence I may happen to possess.
Yes, yes, I can sympathize with you.
Now, my wife sacrificed city life for me. She loathes the very sight of Golden Dawn now. But she puts up with it for my sake. And now my son will have to sacrifice a decent career because of me, too. What chance is a lad out here, bar life as a stockman? What chance have I, for that matter? I've asked for transfer until I'm sick of asking.
Yes, yes, it is very difficult, isn't it? Well, perhaps you will gain promotion out of this aeroplane case.
Not likely. I'll get nothing out of it. Why, I had to call on the CIB for assistance. Or rather, I had to ask them to take over from me.
Without a doubt, you have acted wisely. But remember, Sergeant, from the carcass of the lion comes forth sweetness. We will collaborate, and I shall see that you receive all the credit that is possible.
Well, I say, Boney, that's not right, you know.
I will not get any credit anyway. My superiors have grown used to my successes. Have you previously had an important case?
No worse left.
Then we must make this one a stepping stone to higher things. In fact, to your promotion out of Golden Dawn. Now, suppose you relate to me the details of the case from the very beginning.
Very well, Boney. It was like this.
The aeroplane was stolen on the night of the 28th of October, wasn't it? The time was 1:41 in the morning.